Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got Bert Folsom back on the show. Dr. Burton Folsom Jr. is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Bert is an original member of our Brain Trust. Yeah, all the way back to 98 when we started building the Brain Trust. And he's the resident historian of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. He's a professor of history at Hillsdale College in Michigan. He's the author of some very important books, including Empire Builders, including The Myth of the Robber Barons. And his new book, which is really important, and the karma of this book, you could cut with a knife, New Deal or Raw Deal, How FDR's Economic Legacy Has Damaged America. Bert Folsom, welcome back to the show.
Jim, as always, it's good to be back with you and celebrate 12 years on your brain.
How about that? Congratulations. Yeah. I'm so proud of you for all the time you've given us and all the wisdom you've bestowed upon us, the body of work you've helped us amass on with your ideas. We appreciate it very much.
Well, it's been fun to watch you grow and expand and be innovative, and I always like your intro jingles. Jim, you're very creative.
Well, we try to have a little fun around here.
And I'm glad you do.
We try not to take ourselves too seriously because, you know, somebody told me once, Bert, that no matter who you are in life, no matter how rich or famous you are,
right,
the attendance at your funeral is still going to depend upon the weather.
That's a very good observation.
So you can't don't take yourself too seriously, Bert. Let's take. But I think there are issues that we need to take seriously, and obviously we got some issues going on right now in America and really the globe that we need to take very seriously. And one of the things I want you to comment on is this election that was held this week in Massachusetts. What do you think about that?
It was a remarkable event, Jim.
Surely everybody knows, but just in case, remind the audience what happened.
Right. This is the election in which Scott Brown won Ted Kennedy's Senate seat in Massachusetts, Scott Brown being a Republican. I can't think of a special election, really, in U.S. history that generated as much interest as this one, and it had a very high voter turnout in Massachusetts, too.
One that will have as much of an impact.
Yes, it will have as much of an impact. A lot of things came together. You have Ted Kennedy, who's, of course, the leading light of the Democratic Party and one of the fathers of health care, universal health care. And to have his seat, which is so safe, which he held since 1962, I mean, 48 years, he has been in that seat, 47 years, I guess, technically. And to have a Republican come in and pick that seat up at a time when President Obama is trying to get universal health care into effect is a remarkable event, and it's an incredible repudiation of President Obama's program, and it comes right on the first year, at the end of 1 year of his administration.
It reflects the problems
of his administration.
If you're studying irony, if you're a student, if you're a fan of irony, can you imagine, can you think of anything more ironic than the man who gave almost devoted his career to getting universal health care installed, the seat that he wound up vacating it by dying goes to the one person who will kill that effort virtually?
And of course
you can cut it with a knife, can't you?
It's hard to draw it up. If you did it in a movie, people would say that you were played fast and loose with
coincidence.
Right, but his seat, that 41st seat, of course, in the Senate, is going to prevent the Democrats from being able, with the filibuster possibilities, to push through any future legislation.
But you know, Bert, I've been talking about something else. I I know you say this is a repudiation of Obama's policies, and I agree with you on that. But I think I've been saying that the Scott Brown election is a shot across the bow of all political parties. I don't think it's just Obama and the Democrats. I think it's a shot across the bow because I don't think Obama got elected. Obama thinks he got elected because we loved him. He got elected because America's in general didn't like what we had, and we wanted something different. But we didn't want his difference. Now that everybody knows what he's going to do, I want to finish my thought when we come back after these messages. But I think this isn't a really a great day for Republicans either. It is for the moment, but long term, they don't need to fall into the trap that Obama fell into. And we'll talk about that with Bert Folsom after these messages. His new book is called New Deal or Raw Deal. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out, using it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. Check out all the other things that we do there at Small Business Advocate, and we do it just for you. smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Bert Folsom, Dr. Burton W. Folsom, is our guest, our good friend, and he is the author of the new book, New Deal or Raw Deal. Bert, I was saying as we went to the break why I think that the election in Massachusetts is something that the Republicans are going to benefit from short term. And frankly, I think America will too, because in this particular case, I definitely agree with the Republicans on this health care issue. But because I've been talking about the health care reform for 12 years, since I've known you, I've been talking about this. Not just in the last year or so. But
when you haven't exactly talked about free Medicaid for people in Nebraska and having service unions exempt.
No, that, I've not talked about that. That's not reform. That's cronyism. But my point, though, Bert, is Obama thought he got elected because he was so lovable, but he didn't realize that he got elected because he was not the other guy. And the Republicans need to understand that it's the same thing. Americans are becoming fed up with the political class, not with Obama or McCain, Republicans or Democrats. They're not just getting fed up with one side or the other. They're getting fed up with the political class. Look who elected Scott Brown. The independents elected him.
Right.
What do you think?
Well, I think that there's a lot of truth to that, and I think the Tea Party movement last year supports some of what you say. There were only 12% Republicans in Massachusetts, and there were over 50% independents, and the independents broke heavily for Scott Brown. And so the question is, what does a Republican need to do to make sure that he has the respect of the independents in order to win their votes?
Right.
And that's going to be the challenge. If the Republicans drift back when they eventually get more control into the same earmark, subsidy kind of mentality, it's going to be very bad, because then the voters won't have anywhere to turn. And
Bert, that already happened. We found out in this last decade which party is the big spending party. It's the one in control. I mean, Bert, how many years did George Bush didn't veto a bill until the end of his presidency?
Right, he had very few.
That's ridiculous. He did. I don't think he did one veto until after 7 years.
Right, and there were, and of course, not only that, but he actually advocated the prescription drug benefit for seniors, which was clearly a political move.
Yeah, no question.
And,
talk to us, Bert, about. Do you see any parallels between what's going on now politically and what's happened in history? What can we learn from history?
Right, we can learn a lot. For one thing, we have with the current Democratic group, with President Obama, almost a view that human nature over time has changed. You know, our founders believed that man was flawed, and therefore you can't trust him with very much power, or else you will get a dictatorship. You will a movement toward tyranny. With the progressive movement, certainly in the United States, we get more of an idea that you can trust people with power, and so you need to centralize power. Educated people need to have more power and need to help move the rest of us along.
Mm-hmm.
And we have ever since Franklin Roosevelt.
Is that the definition of a progressive?
Yes.
I'm not sure if everybody really understands what a progressive. We hear people using the term, these people are progressives. I heard Hillary Clinton say she was a modern progressive. I've heard Barack Obama say something about being a progressive. What do you think a progressive is?
A progressive is someone, not at a basic level, someone who believes in government, that government can solve problems, the growth of government, and turn to government to solve problems, centralize power in a strong executive, a strong group, and administer power.
Mm-hmm.
But the heart of that, the basis of that, is because, again, human nature is not the same as the founders believe it was. Human nature is basically good, and we need to have the good people in power to lead the rest of us toward that good. And the founders, on the other hand, believe that human nature was flawed, so you don't want to give anybody too much power. That's why we have checks and balances. And you want to make sure power is fragmented so that nobody can get in or no group can get in and accumulate power and thus oppress the population.
But you know what? The populace has a responsibility here, though, Bert.
Sure.
That we have subordinated. We have given this responsibility up. We can't, as Americans, say what you're saying and saying, I want a representative republic. I want to, you know, I don't want too much power in anybody's hands. I like what Bert just said about not being progressive. But then the first time something happens, they say, why isn't the president doing something about this? I'm going to write my congressman, tell them I want them to do something about this. Those are opposing things.
I think you're making a good point, because what you're saying there, Jim, is that you want the president to be responsible for problems, but you don't want to give him the authority.
Right.
Because of the Constitution.
Well, here's what I'm saying. I don't.
Have it that way.
I never wake up in the morning and say, I want the president working on the economy. I don't want the president working on the economy. I want him working on things, getting the government out of the way of the economy so that people like me and you can create jobs. He can't create any jobs. He can buy jobs, but he can't grow jobs. Only businesses can grow jobs.
That's why progressivism doesn't work, because you're exactly right. The president can't grow jobs. Stimulus packages have failed every time they were tried. I mean, in effect, President Roosevelt's first term was one large stimulus package, and it didn't work. Unemployment at the end of his second term, toward the end, was still 20%. Jimmy Carter tried a stimulus package.
Yeah.
It failed. President Bush tried a stimulus package. Unemployment went up. President Obama had one.
The track record is not good for stimulus packages, folks. Remember that. Write that down. That's going to be on the test. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
There was no use talking. There was nothing to say.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for joining us. Thanks for staying with us. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Dr. Bert Folsom is with us, folks. He's the author of New Deal or Raw Deal, available wherever books are sold. Bert, you want to send us anywhere online? I know hillsdale.edu is your website for the college.
Right, www.hillsdale.edu. I do a blog regularly at bertfolsom.com.
All right, so check that out, folks. It's outstanding.
And got me onto that, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we need your voice out there. All right, Bert, talk to us some more about, help us understand where we've been. Help us remember where we've been so we can understand where we're going.
Well, the massive spending, we were talking about stimulus packages, it doesn't work. And so then the question is, well, if it doesn't work, why do we keep doing it? And one of the answers is that President Roosevelt, for example, had scapegoats to explain why it didn't work. In other words, you have a massive spending, it doesn't work. Do we sit back and say, okay, let's try cutting taxes and spending? No, they say it didn't work because Wall Street wouldn't let it work.
Yeah.
There's an attack on bankers and businessmen.
Right.
And he said if they had just hired people, this wouldn't have happened. Well, why should they hire people when taxes just went up?
Mm-hmm.
And so Roosevelt would blame. When they fought back against him, he said, quote, I welcome their hatred. I mean, that's something for a president to say.
Wow.
I welcome their hatred. And he said, it is my goal in my next term to master this group of people.
What do you think about what President Obama is doing right now with the banking industry? Is
it, well, I think it's the same thing.
Do you see the parallels?
I think we have a parallel here. In other words, rather than say my ideas are not working and unemployment is going up, which is what we would logically think he should say, saying it's not working because we're looking for scapegoats. Wall Street is misbehaving. Bankers aren't lending money the way they should. Well, they don't have incentives to lend money.
Right.
And so you've created a situation through federal intervention that is causing the problem, but rather than getting the government out, there's sentiment to get the government in more and say, hey, Wall Street is the problem. Vote for me again, and I'll do more to get Wall Street. And then, of course, as Wall Street is more regulated, the economy is less functional, and we go downhill even more, and the recovery is delayed.
I still say, though, Bert, the seed of the problem arises from Americans demanding that their members of Congress and their president do something about problems. When, folks, what we need to realize is that there's about a handful of things that the federal government should be doing, and all the rest of it we should be doing for ourselves.
You're exactly right, because if we're going to ask our federal officials, our president, to be responsible for the economy, we're going to have to give them the authority to fix it, and we shouldn't
We can't justify giving them the authority because they don't know what to do with it.
Right. This is a something that's done by people investing, and the way you have people invest is by cutting taxes and giving them incentives to invest, not by having some top-down regulator tell people what to do.
The only thing politicians, their prime directive is to get reelected. And every time they get an email or a letter or a call or whatever that says, I'm unhappy about this thing and I want you to do something about it, that makes them feel that if they don't do something about it, they might not get reelected. And when they do something about it, it imposes more government on us, doesn't it?
You're exactly right. You hit the nail on the head.
So, folks, if we're going to really be Tea Party people, if you're a Tea Party person, independent, whatever, if you want less government, don't ask for more government. What? What do you think, Bert?
I think that you've hit it on the head. And what remains to be seen is whether the Tea Party people will effectively lobby and promote that kind of behavior that we both would like to see. In other words, can we get an alternate party, in this case the Republican Party, responding to those demands for less government? And I hope we can.
Yeah. Bert, you're going to be on Glenn Beck's show next week.
Yes.
What day next week?
Friday next week.
You'll be on next Friday. Okay, so folks, look for him on that show. You get to see his handsome face there. I can't wait to see you and Glenn Beck talking about these things. Last thoughts, Bert. What would you like to say to my audience in the 40 seconds we got left?
I'd say that the best thing that can happen to small business is that we remove regulations, that we remove impositions on them for health care, that we reduce the tax rate. We increase the amount of dividends that people are allowed to, that stockholders are allowed to keep, and we give small businessmen a chance to change the United States as they have done in the past.
Make the golden goose healthy. Don't try to squeeze golden eggs out of her in an artificial way. I agree with you 100%. Bert, thanks for being here. Great job today.
Jim, always good to be with you.
Talk to you next time. Bert Folsom, Burton W. Folsom Jr., Dr. Burton W. Folsom Jr. The book is called New Deal or Raw Deal. And by the way, it's BertFolsom.com. That's his blog. You don't want to miss that. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.